ngayo wathi ngithi kwenzi kwenzi for the power of South Africa. And I just want to find out from you, because I've been listening to you. There are other concepts that you have just introduced, and those are the discussion concepts which some of them I know that there are quarters, you know, that are discussing those concepts. But I want to know from you, what will be your views on this? And as a unionist, I think you have also, you know, monitored the situation of SABC. We all know what happened. And I want, when you answer this, take into cognizance also what was happening in the SABC. And in terms of your organization, what will be your input? Thanks.
I think that SABC, to start, it should remain a public broadcaster, and the state should continue to fund SABC. The reason I'm saying that is because as a country we've got lessons where we've tried to privatize the key assets of the country, and that backfired. If I may use Eskom and the fact that we tried at some point to privatize it, and what then happened to universal access, the issue of the new connections in rural areas and everything, that was affected. Now you then ask yourself, what will happen to the people that I've just said that I represent in terms of access to SABC radio stations, television, if we were to say that it should be privatized, because we know that there is no free lunch in privatization. For each and every cent that a privatized entity spends, it says it wants to see the results. So it's not a matter of saying that as a state, I want all South Africans to have access to the news, to have access to information, to have access to entertainment. But it's rather about how much money can I make out of it. And I think that that should be very dangerous for South Africa to take that route of wholly privatizing, of privatizing SABC. I think it should remain the funding model. Whilst I did say that there are many opportunities that can be tapped or can be used to improve the revenues, even from private sector, like from advertising and other avenues, to get revenues for SABC. And they're just there for they're just waiting for people to think creatively, be innovative, and use those opportunities, and in the process become a profitable entity again. But also, sometimes as South Africans, we very selective when we engage on debates. A few years ago in South Africa, there was a debate about how much the vice chancellors of institutions are earning. Your Mangosu to Technicon and them, and that was in the news. And when I was just checking the last financial statement, the 2008 financial statement of SABC, I noticed that the group CEOs, there's not even one that earns below $1 million per year. It's actually better, honorable members, to be a group CEO of SABC than to be an MP, because you earn far less than them. So I think those are the things that would really need to be addressed. There should be a cap of what people can earn. Really, when I looked at what the people were earning there, some were raking up to $4 million per annum. And I don't think that we should be using the public money in that way. That issue will need to be addressed also. Because I don't know what are these special skills. You see, in South Africa, people stop training after 1994 on the basis that they will say there is scarcity of skills. And on the basis of that word, the scarcity of skills, then decide to pay themselves exorbitant amounts of money. I think that those are all the things that are challenged and they should be addressed. I just don't understand why. Why should people get up to 4 million per annum and more than a president of a country just for running SABC?
Beginner, thank you very much for appearing before the committee and for your time. We apologize again for the delay.
Okay, thank you very much for the opportunity.
So, can we call in the next candidate, please? Professor, how are you?
I'm fine, sir.
I'm well, thanks. Have you been to Parliament before?
Yes, sir.
So you're familiar with the parliamentary proceedings and processes?
Not really. I came here and yes, it's a beautiful.
Okay.
All right.
It's been a long time. Welcome then to the Portfolio Committee on Communications. We've had a very long day, and I think you've been waiting some time also outside. So please accept our apologies for the delay. We're going to give you 3 to 5 minutes just to talk through your CV, highlights of your career, and what skills you might bring to bear on the SABC, and why you think you'll be a worthy candidate for the new board. Thereafter, members will pose questions. We take one question at a time, one member at a time, and you respond. We hope to complete the interview within 40 minutes. Over to you.
Okay. my name is Sheila Onkayetsi Musi. I'm a professor in linguistics and media studies. I hold a PhD in linguistics, and what I would bring to the board is an understanding of language policy and planning matters. Plus, I also have been fortunate to do contract research for the SABC through a company, Plus 94 Research, a project called Bula Bula Africa Zonga. It was to evaluate the impact of the language policy of the SABC. So I think as one of the mandates of the SABC is to provide programming or broadcast content in the languages of South Africans in the various languages of South Africans. I bring research knowledge or an understanding of what needs to happen in order to comply with the mandate as determined by the SABC Charter in the Broadcasting Act of 1999. But in addition, I have studied telecommunications and information policy. I hold a postgraduate diploma in that area from UNISA. I've also done 6 months telecommunications policy and regulation from a certificate course through Wits University, and that involved broadcasting and telecommunications policy, a course which I later introduced at the University of Limpopo in the Media Studies Department where I teach. I teach at Advanced Information Technology and broadcasting policy as well as community media. I also have that background. I'm a caretaker station manager for Radio TIF. I've served in the boards of the National Community Radio Forum, other community radio stations such as Radio TIF itself. And so I have an understanding of community broadcasting, which I also view as public service broadcasting on a small scale, because we are dealing with small sections of the population. And so, you know, for me, what's happening at SABC is, well, at a much higher I would like to say we have sort of similar mandates from community broadcasting, which has a public mandate in a way to public broadcasting. I shall pause there, but I would say these are the highlights, you know, my experience in community broadcasting, my qualifications in language and linguistics, and also having served in a variety of boards.
Thank you very much. It's Stefan Berg.
Professor, what is your view on the SABC's language policy? Here I am. Just in front of you. Yeah.
You know, they can't see you because you've got an eyesight problem.
No.
Has it been happening with Adam?
Yes. Repeatedly.
And I thought, I'm impressive, you know.
I'm sorry about that.
No problem, Professor. I'll repeat, what is your view on the SABC's language policy? We are a country with 11 languages, and as you pointed out, language, you know, mother tongue is very important in South Africa to communicate with people. And as we know, there are certain areas in South Africa where, for instance, if a person from KwaZulu-Natal moved to Cape Town, he can't hear his own language on the radio, and I think it's very important. I'm in a fortunate position. I can drive from Beitbrug to Cape Town and listen to my Afrikaans language. I'm very privileged to do that, and I think it is in the right of every person in South Africa, as I am privileged to listen to my language all over South Africa, that all the people in South Africa must be in a position to do that. If you were elected to the SABC board, what are you going to do to change things, as I can state it like that?
Thank you, sir, for your question. I'd like to begin by saying, first of all, South Africa, with its multilingual official language policy, you know, 11 official languages policy, it's quite ambitious, I must say. But because we are a multilingual and multicultural society, we have to face this challenge. And I think SABC is trying very, very hard to accommodate all the indigenous languages. Especially on radio, it's not a problem. The radio platform can accommodate one language per station, per radio station. And then when it comes to television, it's quite a challenge. But they are trying very hard. For me, even the fact that they can contract research to be done on that, that was not the first research project that we did. They are concerned about delivering programs in the languages of the people. And they can only do so much. Like, during the research, as we were doing that research, we found out that Xitsonga, Xivenda, Siswati speakers are complaining that their language is not catered for sufficiently by SABC television. But hopefully with a digital migration that that was switched on last November, I think it would open up. I mean, it's going to lead to more bandwidth and therefore a possibility of more channels, and therefore you could cater for more languages. But strangely enough, you know, the people that we came across and asked whether they would like single language television channels, they said they would like a channel, they would like more languages. They don't want single language channels on television. They don't want a Sepedi channel because it takes you back again to segregation of languages. So they want to be able, if it's a Sesotho station, then there should be a Nguni language coupled with it. So people in South Africa have an inclination to be multilingual. Of course, even when you go, black people, I watch the news, I'm Sotho, Setswana speaking, I understand Sotho, some of these languages are related, Sotho Pedi. So if you would couple those, which they do right now, but, I mean, if you would couple those, it's still okay. But I also would like to hear Zulu. So people are open to other languages. So I'm saying there is room for improvement, and with the new channels, you could have more Xitsonga and Xivenda and more Afrikaans. I hope I've answered the question.
Teddy, what other board experience do you have?
Okay, I can name the... I have served in the board of the National Community Radio Forum after having served as a Radio Turf board. But I also am a member of the board of directors of a company called Plus 94 Research. We do independent research. It's based in Johannesburg, and we've done some government... right now we're doing civil society organizations for the Gauteng Social Department of Social Development. So these are the some of the boards. Polokwane Radio, I've been a board member of the Polokwane Community Radio.
There is a commonality with Polokwane. Polokwane Radio and Polokwane 2000, yeah, around. good afternoon. I'm glad you are paying your TV license, and it's the right thing to do, which you are doing, continue doing so, paying your TV license.
I am. I'm paid up right now.
I know. at least from Friday you were paid up. my first question is in relation to the matter which we have just touched in terms of sometimes being commissioned to do the SABC work on the research side. If you happen to be appointed as a board, I know that the legislation is saying you can recuse yourself if a decision which affects you is going to be taken and so on. But you see, it does not remove the effect of being conflicted in terms of your priorities in the SAPC and so on. Well, what will be your take if maybe you happen to be appointed? But on the broader level, what is your view about the board of board members and management in the SAPC having direct business interests in the SAPC, which they are serving and so on? The second question is in relation to the issue which you said SAPC has got a very a good policy language. I just want to check if you look into that versus the local context which SAPC currently is providing. Whether do you think that there is a need to do more? Because the problem is that most of the institutions, if they are given a certain limit, once they reach that target, it's a matter of target. It's not the matter of being developmental in terms of dealing with that. Once they reach their target, then they will say, in terms of ICASA, a license condition, we've met our target, then so what? Were within the range and so on. I just want your view around that, whether the current target in terms of the local content, we are doing enough or we need to do more around that particular area. The last one is in relation to the issue of I'm sure by indicating that you are serving in other board, it will suggest that you are a team player. Because SAPC, you might have individual skills, but you still have to operate within a team with the other board members. Are you a team player? Thank you.
Thank you for the question, sir. I can begin from the bottom and say, yes, I'm a team player. As you have rightfully shown that I've worked with people in those boards. Even right now at Limpopo, we are forming, we've already registered a company called the Limpopo National Community Radio Forum Hub, just so that we go and source business together to strengthen the community radio stations in Limpopo, because together we are strong. Individually, you find that our audience numbers are too little to get Coca-Cola to...
No, Prof. Together we can do more.
Okay, together we can do more. That's exactly what I meant.
Sounds familiar to you.
Yes, it sounds like a party slogan. Or
I thought it was a Coke brand or something.
Okay, so I am a team player. Even where I work at the University of Limpopo, I'm in the Information Communications Technology Committee at the university. So I work with people, and if we have to produce, we better look at the goal and not the personalities. In terms of the language policy, I can go back to language policy. I was saying, you know, our language policy is, in South Africa, an ambitious one. A lot of countries have one national language or two official languages and so forth. But I was saying the SABC is trying best and needs can still do better, because if you look also at the one shortcoming I can note is that when it comes to sign language, we can even do much better. We are not doing enough. Some of the programs or some of the news and current affairs would have someone in doing sign interpreting. But otherwise, the rest of the programming, you don't find any. But then on Saturdays, you do find DTV. You know, they are attempting to do something there. And what it will mean is also that we need to do, we need a little bit more of human resource development, train more. There's not enough sign language interpreters in the country as well. So we need to do a lot in that area. The SABC also, I would say, in terms of skills development, could, I mean, if I was to be in the board, something would need to be done with, you know, increasing the sign language interpreters pool. And I could see myself encourage some of the subtitling that is done, you know, if a movie or a soap is in another language, some of the translations are really bad, very poor. So you need people who have been trained in translation and interpreting to do the work, not just somebody that I pulled from a nearby office to say, come and do this for us. So professionalism in those areas is a must. Coming to content, I would say, as far as content is concerned, I have a lot of criticism to the SABC, and I think I would be able to contribute in that board as far as skills development in content development. I will tell you, here's one example. They do come to the SABC Content Hub, does roadshows, and comes to, they have come to Limpopo. And what they do, they've come, you know, they're trying their best, they've come. But then it's about informing us that we will need soapies in this format, in this language, maybe English and Tibanda and so forth. But you are talking to people who don't know how to, who have never written scripts. So you'll go to attend these workshops and go back home because you cannot develop a script. You haven't written a script. So I would like to see the SABC do more, like wherever they are. You know, I know they're not a training institution, but they can be. Media 24 is doing something in terms of training. So in those regions, like Limpopo, you have three. You have Limpopo Combo. You have three stations, African stations of SABC. You can run a workshop on script writing there and develop people and actually develop content that is internal to the SABC and spend less money in importing content from overseas. So that's what I'm saying. As far as local content, we need to increase it, and we can increase it in that way by training our people. In summary, I would say, sir, that just meeting the target that ICASA wants is not enough. I agree with you also. It's not enough. The SABC needs to do more, especially when we are aspiring to have regional TV. SABC 4, SABC 5, and whatever, after digital migration, after opening up the channel, we need content. And we need local content. Thank you.
Chairperson, it's one of those lows in the afternoon. I think I need some caffeine. Just wanted to ask, Professor, can I just quickly ask you, you seem to be very energetic and very busy. And that you are running more than one thing, and I mean, I know women are very good at multitasking. But can I ask you, will you cope with another responsibility as a board member in addition to those positions that you already have as, you know, your empowerment or management position at the radio, community radio, etc., as well as your responsibilities at the university? That's the first question. Just how busy are you? Will you be able to handle all of that? Secondly, Honorable Kolwane referred to the issue of conflict of interest. Very strong pronouncements have been made by members who came for interviews so far, and there are also certain views held by some of the committee members here about a trend that has developed that people have the benefit of inside information and then have the opportunity to engage in business transactions with the SABC. What is your view on that? Is it acceptable, or should it best not be entertained because of exactly the position that you are best positioned in as a person, and how will it affect your involvement, for instance, with the company Plus 94? Then, as far as Plus 94 is concerned, did you do any further surveys with regards to content and the type of soapies that we see through the SABC? One of the interesting inputs that we received was that it seems as though the image that is created mostly through our soapies, it's not a reality within rural areas where people live differently. Do we need to change the sort of a broader sort of mirror of South Africa in our context? And then lastly, we are asking all persons that we interview, are you politically affiliated to any party? I'm not talking about which party you like to vote for or which party you may be a member, but politically affiliated and holding political office in a party. Thank you. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you, ma'am. I'll start with the last question. Are you politically affiliated to any party? I do vote for a certain party, but I do not hold office or belong to any women's organization or even the party that I vote for. So I... while I still retain freedom of association according to the Constitution. Thank you. No. Will I be able to cope with another responsibility? What? Pardon? Oh! So this word has acquired a new meaning now. It cannot be used the way...
Yes, be careful. Okay. Just for that reason, we won't appoint you to the board.
Yes, okay.
Very careful.
I'll be conscious of that. Will I be able to manage another responsibility? Yes, I will. First of all, I'm a single mother. I don't have to cook for anybody, and the children are grown up, and I live in an empty nest. So work is my passion. And yes, also I'll be able to cope because to manage. My position at a community radio station right now, I am officially called caretaker station manager while we are going to advertise the position to get a full-time station manager. The reason I had to manage is because I'm in media studies and I understand community radio, and when there were problems, they also have problems between patient management and the board. So when there were the problems can be very serious, leading to even closure of radio stations. So I was asked to step in and take care of that. So I've been doing that for the past, it's now 3 years. So come January, that position will be full-time for someone else. And it's the one that really is so hands-on. It takes a lot of my time. So I will be able to manage. And as far as conflict of interest, you know, corporate governance does spell out to us, there are guidelines for us to say when you have business interests or whatever, you have to declare them. And I have my reputation to look after. I wouldn't like to be kicked out. For I would rather, you know, declare and say, there is this. So what do you think? And the way I have the passion to serve in the SABC board, I would even quit another board for that. So it's all in the, you know, I'm driven. I have a passion for the media. I really do. And even for research. And if there was a tender advertised by the SABC, you know, I don't think I would draw up. I would be part of doing the tender and still be in that board that would apply. That's against all, you know, that's against governance. Yeah, I wouldn't do that. Plus, I'm so Roman Catholic, I would confess the next day. No, just kidding. I hope I've taken care of the answers.
Ms. Pagasi, this will be the last question. Are you finished? Oh, sorry.
Oh, there was something about whether we did further research. For some reason, we were doing research on language, you know, on whether people are happy with the way their language is being catered for by the SABC. But we also included ETV. We checked what programs people were watching. So you don't become one-track-minded because you want to get everything from the people when you do such research. So we would ask them even about what they watch. Why do you watch Generations, for instance? Why do you watch Mubango? You know, and people actually said, we found out that people watch SABC 1 and 2. And when I say people, I mean the people who speak indigenous languages actually said they watch SABC 1 and 2 because they can relate to the content that is covered there. I think it's similarly, those who have DSTV, you find that they like to watch Nollywood because it's almost, the content is like similar to township life. So people relate, and it told us that SABC needs to develop content that tell a South African story, because that's what the people want to watch. So soapies, I heard, well, that was as far as the research was concerned. It did come out that, you know, they were complaining about overseas, about imports, and some even say The Bold and the Beautiful has been around for 20 years. Why must we still be watching that, you know? So in terms of image, in soapies, not being a reality, you'll be amazed, even people who do not have a degree in anything would tell you that, you know, for instance, with Generations, they don't believe that there are black people who live like that, you know. But for me, I wouldn't say take it out. But people are analyzing things. You're giving them the opportunity to think and analyze and make choices and decide. Like just last week, you know, there were some two characters kissing there. I mean, people, were disgusted, the people who watch that. So it's almost like, okay, SABC content has to keep up with global developments, with life as we see. You know, our children are on Facebook, they do Twitter, they do all of those things. They dress like what they see on TV. But there's a point where where we have to consider the greater majority, you know, who are conservative. So, but I could see that what the generation's writers were trying to say was they were depicting reality. There are men who kiss out there. But whether we are ready to see it or not, you know, we need to delay it a bit until it's very common. Okay. Thank you.
I want to try and bring it to an end. Okay. I'll allow Ms. Sebe and Ms. Tori as the last two questions.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I will ask the usual one. The turnaround strategy, Mose. I think you know the SAB saga. What happened, it has been on media and everywhere. What do you think needs to be done that the newly elected SABC board must do it as their immediate task to save the SABC or to correct the situation for the better? Also, to try to build the image and the credibility of and the confidence of the SABC. In your own view, what do you think needs to be done as a matter of urgency?
Okay. The saga at the SABC, I was hoping I wouldn't have to say anything about it. But I believe the problem, I can go back to saying the problem at the SABC was the way the board is constituted. First of all, as someone who's interested in governance issues, you cannot, well, looking at the Broadcasting Act of 1999, it says the board shall consist of 12 non-executive members plus three, you know, the group CEO, the chief operations officer, COO, and I think the chief financial officer, then you have 15 people. Now, the three are the executive members, three or two, whenever. So, in general, whether you go to ICASA Council, the MDDA board, Media Diversity and Development Agency, you don't have the internal, the executive directors. They do form part of the board, but the non-executive board has more powers, more authority than, I mean, I shouldn't say more authority, their power and authority is clear. Now, here you have a board where if you have suspended the group CEO can attend meetings because he says, I've been suspended from my job as CEO, not as a board member. So you have that conflict. So, again, it's the current board needs to examine what we can do immediately is to examine this state of affairs to say, I mean, elsewhere, this board, the board can meet without the CEO, and the CEO and the COO are ex officio members. That's what they should be. And that's generally what happens. So the conflict is caused by that blur. And if you interpret those things like a lawyer will say, this law is silent on this. Therefore, even if you go to the courts, you'll find that the board has no right to do certain things because the board has, it's not clear what the powers, it's still not clear what the powers of the non-executive members of the board are. So that needs to be fixed. And what also happened is I couldn't understand, of course I don't have the details, ma'am, how the head of news could be fired or could be dismissed without the knowledge of the board. Because currently I'm as a station manager of a small community radio station, if I have to, not that I ask permission, I have certain rights as the quote-unquote CEO. But there are certain, I mean, there's important leadership and management in there who I wouldn't fire just at a whim. I would have informed the board somehow, or it would have been a process. I just don't know how it happened. That's what I'm saying. Just overnight. So for me, it shows there might have been personality clashes or even political interference. I'm sorry, I have to say that. There could have been. So the board has to be so independent that has to be independent from influences of government. It's almost like someone was pressured into push that person out. So that's my feeling. But when we get there, once I'm a board member, issues of governance would have to be taken care of, such as also, I think they do have, there should be a performance management system in place, especially for top management at the SABC. But I would say there should also be a performance evaluation system in place for the board itself. You know, something like that should be put in place. The board also needs to be monitored, but I think the details can be worked out when we get there, like by who. Because my other, you know, views about what happened, the appointing body of this board is this committee. But when there were problems, it took a long time, things were rotting, and the committee didn't, although the Broadcasting Act of 99, even the Electronic Communications Act says that, although the appointing authority can fire or suspend the board, they were hesitant to do that. They didn't do that. So it's almost like the board reports to no one because the minister is in charge of financial, you know, mostly financial, to make sure that, because they are given some subsidy, because SABC receives subsidy from government, therefore, you know, the minister has to be able to account for how the money was used. Now, I find that, I mean, this is just my opinion. I find that then there exists a gap at the SABC. You know, there's nobody, I mean, it's this committee, I know, according to the law, which can fire the board, the whole board. But it's like there's nobody who's monitoring. You know, the minister takes care of money. Who's taking care of the other activities? Question mark. So the new board, when we get there, I think what we can do is to put policies in place to policies in terms of there should be committees, you know, like committees which would look after a committee for corporate governance, for instance, which will look after those issues. And that's what I'm saying. Their first task, those who look after, the committee that looks after corporate governance, their first task is to actually be able to request for a policy directive through the Minister of Communications as to clarity in terms of non-executive and executive board members. And how we repair the image of the board. I think transparency and communication to the public. You know, sometimes we say the SABC is a public broadcaster. So it is a public broadcaster which is supposed to promote democracy, which is supposed to promote development, which is supposed to inform, educate the public. And the SABC board is accountable to this public. So the new SABC board needs to communicate as soon as they have put their ducks in order. They should be able to communicate this to the public. I think that's how they can repair their image. Communicate to the public because we are accountable to South Africa. Thank you.
Pastor Lee.
Thank you, Chairperson. Professor Sheila Musi. Legay.
Kitang Malagay.
Okay. Maybe I just want to ask a question out of the ordinary questions that we ask here, because I've done some oversight in Limpopo, you know, at one instance with a committee, and I picked up some of the things I'll be asking. I'm just worried about this, the demarcation of these stations, the regional stations, whether they are serving the purpose of educating people. I just wanted to know in terms of content. I never heard whether you say you approve of these regional stations. What are they doing? Are they educating people? But I want to know about a few things. Whether you have picked up that they do educate people in Mpompo, especially women, on the 365 days of violence against women. And you see, South Africa is one of the places that has been mentioned as a transit country for trafficking of children and women. Have you ever met such programs of education in the stations? And the other thing we picked up when we were doing oversight in Limpopo is the issue of people perceiving elderly people to be witches, the witchcraft that is perceived. Do we have educational programs on this? Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. First of all, I would like to understand which stations they are referring to when you say regional stations. The SABC stations?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm talking about the regional stations of the SABC.
Okay. Thank you. Because you have the Limpopo Combo, which is catering for Chitonga. There's Munganalo Nene, and there's Palapala, and there's Tobela FM. I've had the opportunity to listen, and sometimes I get invited. Like on Women's Day, I was doing commentary on Tobela FM, even on what the president was saying, what I thought about the president's address on Women's Day, and whether I thought we still needed a whole month dedicated to women's issues. So that was on Thobela FM. I guess because I speak Setswana and a little bit of Sepedi, I could do that on Thobela FM. So I would say I know that they do, I don't know about the 365 days, but I do know they do have programs according to even the calendar of holidays or activities in the country. You know, like Heritage Month is coming, you will hear a lot of that on radio. In terms of, I've heard them address issues of education, you know, Thobela FM, issues of witchcraft. What concerned me, I've heard them address it. There's a program called Areboleleng. It comes at 10 at night. And people call in, and I feel like they are not educating the people against witchcraft, but people phone in and say they had, you know, baboons or monkeys, you know, on top of their roofs and things like that. And people believing that, you know, I'm being visited at night by this baboon, and I think somebody has sent it to me. It's sleeping with me. Now, then I don't hear anybody address it to say that cannot be true. Because I think the conflict is also of culture, because we also, we have to respect their beliefs. So I believe that's why, you know, even the presenter of the program will just listen and other people will call and say, it happened to me too, you know, so. Yeah. So I'm not happy with the way they are taking it, you know. But then they try to address witchcraft. They do talk about these issues. And I can say, you know, when I think, since I come from Limpopo, a lot of the other stations are community radio stations. And I need to add the fact that, you know, these stations also receive from different non-government organizations like Commission on Gender Equality, Gender Links. They receive programs that they run all the time. We get them even through the National Community Radio Forum. You find them, you know, they educate the smaller communities in Limpopo, because a community radio station would broadcast for 90 Ks. So they do deal with these issues, and they do it in the dialect of the people. And of course, I wouldn't do justice if I didn't say we as community radio, we are the ones who provide presenters to the SABC stations. We are the training ground. So that's what I also bring as a board member, to say that partnership needs to be strengthened, because you go to Limpopo SABC, you find at Palapala, a vendor station, it's students from Univen who were working at Univen Radio. And Thobela, it's students from Radio Tel, from our stations. So there's a pool out there, you know. We are the training ground for SABC and other commercial stations. Thank you.
Esther, thank you very much for your time and for participating in this interview. Is your flight today?
Yes, sir. It's today, but here it's postponed to 8 o'clock.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much. Can we then call the next candidate? Members, all flights all the people are now booked for the 10 to 8 flight. So we will have to make 20 to 7 as absolute deadline. complete the two interviews. And I'm appealing for your assistance. For two, we've still got two candidates coming.
I'd like to say thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Welcome to the Portfolio Committee on Communications, and we must apologize for keeping you waiting for so long, but these interviews are going longer than we had expected and scheduled, so thank you for your patience. We're going to ask you to speak to us for 3 to 5 minutes just on your CV and why you think you'll be a worthy candidate to serve on the SABC board, and thereafter members would pose questions. Each member respond immediately, and then we take the next question. And we're hoping we can finish in about 35 minutes or so. So over to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Well, I would like to thank the Portfolio Committee for inviting me here for this interview. The people who proposed me told me that they thought I could be a useful member on the board because I have served in government. I'm relatively familiar with the policy environment. I have international experience. And generally, I think I've conducted myself in government very well. I never had a qualified audit report as minister. I was never investigated for all sorts of funny things. So I thought, well, let me submit myself and contribute to the development and growth of our nation and our people by being on the board, because the SABC, the corporation, is a very potent tool for entrenching democracy in this country, but also for educating, for bringing out the South African expression and experience, and for uplifting the moral and social fabric of our society. So I thought, because of all these things, I should come here. I've retired now from government. I thought, well, that was the end of my involvement with public life, but if you feel that I should contribute, I will contribute happily. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
You've got a very impressive CV, you know, being a medical doctor and you're a minister of arts, culture, science, and technology. I think this is very important areas in the broadcasting world, you know, the arts and cultures, to look after the important things for all the people in South Africa. But how do you see your role? You're a wise man nowadays, and you know, I think we need wise men in South Africa, also wise ladies to give direction. But will you? How do you see your role as an older, wiser man on such a board? And for instance, there's a division between ideas and everything. Will you sort of try to give direction and strong leadership just to keep the board together? As we've seen in the previous board, there was a lot of factions and infighting and everything. But
Can you answer the Japanese, please? Because he was the ambassador in Japan.
Well, tomorrow. Now, it's a very important question, Mr. Chairperson. You know, we have gone through very bad conflict in this country. At one stage, I was premier of KwaZulu-Natal with the present president, Mr. Jacob Zuma. And we tried very hard to bring the conflicting factions together by going out publicly and showing an amicable spirit to the people. I think that's what we need. Wherever there is conflict, there has to be someone who acts as a bridge. Because these conflicts are not really fundamental. It's a question of personalities, personality clashes. It's a question of leadership style. You wrap up the other person the bad way. He carries a grudge. He wants to fix you. You know, so I think having some people who can act as a bridge, see beyond the conflict. But I think also the problems that the SABC has faced were actually management problems. You know, a lot of people say the president, the cabinet ministers, the political people put pressure on the SABC to lose their editorial independence. I don't believe that. I think people go out of their way to ingratiate themselves with people in power and then do things that are not called for. I mean, I was in cabinet. Not once President Mandela, President Begi ever told me to present my policy speech or present whatever I was presenting in a particular way, even if it was different from the way they would have done it. We battled over the place names. We battled over the new coat of arms. And we insisted from my side that, you know, what the department had said should be the approach, should be accepted, because they have studied it, they know it. So I'm saying one does not need to be conflictual to be able to stand for openness, for fairness, for being unbiased, and so on. So I think with the board that's got good membership, with a management team that is excellent, is effective, is efficient, and sticking to best practice and following the rules can do a lot of healing in any institution. So that's how my approach would be.
Afternoon, almost towards evening, Dr. Nguban. I know by now that you are paying your TV license. I know by now that you are paying your TV license. Your TV license.
Yes, yes.
I know you are paying. And it's the right thing to do.
Sure.
Continue to do that.
Have you been investigating me?
But
I paid it long before I got notice to come here.
No, I know. I know. You have been in good standing for some time.
Right.
I even know those who pay yesterday after the that I'm raising the question. My question is in relation to notwithstanding the provision of the current legislation that board members who've got business interest, in a particular manner which the board is going to decide upon, must recuse themselves in terms of that process. But I just want to check from your point of view whether it's desirable to have board members having business interests in the SABC, including the senior manager in the SABC dealing or having business again in the SABC, which they are serving. The second one, Doctor, is in relation to the issue of, I'm sure you've been following the event in the SABC, what has been happening. In terms of, other than what we have already mentioned now, what do you think has been the cause of these difficulties which the SABC find itself today? As we were once in arts and culture, I want to get your view in terms of the local content, which is currently in the SABC, whether do we need to do more, or we're at the level where everything is okay in terms of the local content. But I'm mindful that ICASA also imposed certain limits to the SABC to say if you reach this percentage of local content, it means you comply with your license. But the weakness, I might say, whether it does talk to repeating programs, because you see, you can comply with the local content if you watch Madanduna 5 times in 5 years or 10 times in 5 years. You are complying maybe in terms of the language, but I think the weakness it would seem that this thing of repeating same things, whether it does explicit isolate those or just you can repeat whatever you do as long as you have comply with the local content without any substance being added. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Kolwane. Well, I pay my license because we must lead by example. I teach my children to be responsible citizens. Well, in terms of business interests in the SABC, surely anyone who works for a big organization like that should have a declaration of interest. In other words, they must be open in terms of connections they have with people in the SABC, relatives, etc. And I think that is a non-negotiable condition for participating in any major business, particularly one as important as the SABC. So it should be totally outlawed that I may be a supplier to the same organization on which I sit as a board member. That is absolutely wrong. We can't go on like that because it is corruption. Now, with respect to the cause of difficulties in the SABC, as I said earlier, I thought it was the management crisis. Well, there is an aspect of finance involved, but essentially, basically, it's a management crisis. And, of course, the board itself, to some extent, must share the blame because they should have foreseen what was going to happen if certain practices were insisted upon. I'll just quote you this example of upstreaming editorial policy, getting the CEO to be the one who signs off on editorial policy. That is wrong because then you create, you know, a staff that is really not satisfied. I mean, the editors feel disempowered. The journalists feel disempowered. You know, you start having people developing resentments and not coming out honestly on issues because they are fearing full of their jobs and so on. So things like that need to be corrected. There should be a clear guideline on how you can maintain your editorial independence, your journalistic independence, which you need for creativity, while at the same time being very mindful not to do what, for instance, people did to President Mosante, go and publish a story which later on is proven to be totally untrue. Now, that sort of journalism, in other words, creates the unfortunate situation where the people in charge then say, we want to see everything. So if there's absolute professionalism among the journalists, among the editors, I think those situations of uneasiness and so on would disappear. With regard to local content, the independent production sector
is very, very important to the health of the SABC and to the mandates that the SABC have to carry out of entertaining, educating, and generally leading the deepening of democracy and so on. Now, if you are not commissioning productions properly, and you are probably showing favoritism to certain sectors in the independent production sector, that will discourage creativity. And I would think the minister was correct when he said we must look at commissioning procedures. For instance, creating IP, but because you must take the commission from the SABC, then losing your copyright to the SABC is wrong, because again, it's a disincentive for creativity. Local content we need, and we are going to need more as we migrate from analog to digital, because the multiplexing that's going to happen is going to produce a profusion of new stations which will need high quality content. So I would say SABC will need to talk to the independent producers fairly urgently to prepare for 2010, to prepare for 2012, when this system will be fully in place. There is going to be demand, and we need to create the demand. However, we must be careful. You raise a very important issue here, that repetition of programs in order to meet the quotas can also be a dangerous thing. You know, when you start repeating programs which bring in advertisements and therefore money over and over again, then you are putting the commercial imperative far above the mandate that the organization is expected to carry out. The mandate is to create diversity, to give everyone a chance, to give expression of who we South Africans are, and not just to favor those programs that bring in money. The CASA content quotas are very necessary. Now, when we were in arts and culture, we agitated for this. We lobbied for this because we realized that some stations, particularly sound broadcasting, can play for the whole day foreign songs, foreign artists, and then never give prominence to our own local artists. So with those quotas, it's absolutely right, and I hope ICASA will really insist that those quotas are carried through but not covered up in terms of repeating, and then appear, which makes it appear as if actually you are giving expression to the quota system. The other thing I would like to stress with ICASA is that sign language only appears very briefly on our national networks. I think it's only probably with the news, some of the news, in fact, not all of them, that you get a bit of sign language. That's depriving a lot of South Africans who are disabled access to our TV programs. And, you know, with the commitment to universal access, you know, that practice is actually not to be accepted for long. Also, with the issue of marginalized languages, we need to create probably stronger regional broadcasting services, in whether it's sound or TV, when we come to the level of providing regional TV, so that, you know, people feel that their languages are taken seriously. You know, that goes very much with self-esteem and self-respect, to see that you are taken seriously. Warren Buffett said, if you lose money for the company, I will understand. If you lose the reputation of the company, I will be ruthless. Now, so all those things that are reputational risk to the SABC have to be analyzed, have to be dealt with, because when the stakeholders lose confidence in the organization, you can only get disintegration.
Thank you. Chairperson, I can see Dr. Ngubane's nomination. He's got a lot of medication to offer a terminally ill SABC. Can I just ask, how do we balance the mandate of the SABC with a funding model? A lot has been said in the past few days about how do we achieve a balance between commercial interests and also the public mandate to inform and educate, etc., and the natural tendency that advertisers prefer certain programs, soapies, etc., because of viewer numbers, etc.
Right.
How do we balance that, and do you see any risk in increased government funding? If so, how should increased government funding be structured so as to avoid perceptions of a greater hold on editorial policy?
Well,
grip of the
one deficiency is that whereas other countries spend about 65% of budget in broadcasting to content formation and programming, we are spending about 45%. Now, this is, in other words, it's probably worse than that, because out of 4 billion, we probably are spending only 1 billion on content. Now, this is the skew. Now, this is the cause of the very, very unbalanced dependence on the commercial sector, because we are not creating enough content. If we created enough content, there would be a huge interest to also put advertisements, put support on programs other than the ones we currently have. You know, there are one or two programs that are very popular that get repeated all the time, that draw in a lot of funding. But we could increase that if we were to spend more money on training, on content production. I mean, documentaries, advertisements written by our independent producers, stories, new stories from the townships and so on and so on, can create bodies of very committed audiences, even if not shared by the whole country. So that's number one. We need to create more content and therefore generally raise the level of support by business in terms of advertisements and so on. Secondly, the Polokwane conference called for 60% state funding for the public broadcaster. Now, we know that it's difficult. It's a steep climb from about 3% of funding, as we have known in the past. So I would say probably a move towards 10%, you know, funding by government would help reduce this dependence on commercial interests. And of course, another issue is to what extent are the programming people in the SABC partnering with institutions and organizations that are already funded by government. Take for instance, you know, the National Arts Council puts a lot of funding to places like the Playhouse, like the Cape Town Theater, you know, Philharmonic Orchestras. Why isn't SABC programmers saying, you guys will partner with you, you already have state funding, so we don't have to spend as much money on your product? You know, with the Department of Education, I'm sure could come to the party also, even more intensely, if there was real focus on ABET. ABET over TV could do a tremendous amount to advance literacy in this country. Skills. You know, I've been in Japan. You know, on NHK, you can learn anything. You learn to be a dressmaker, you learn to cook, you learn to lay out the table, you learn to
design with paper, origami, and so on. This is, all right, this may not be advertisement-generating programs, but they help the country to cope with skills transfer, to cope with literacy. So we need to be innovative. You know, we need to see it with these organizations that already have money in them so that we don't have to pay all the time for new programs. So I think that could bring a balance.
Babu Mbovu.
Yes, Kabazas.
Nipilile
wa. Haba was dog.
No, two questions, Bob. In terms of the information from SABC, that there are almost 5 million people who are not getting the SABC coverage and signal. If you get appointed to SABC board, what is your contribution in terms of addressing that anomaly? Because that is a serious, as currently as we are talking about a universal access, but in South Africa there are people who are not getting the SABC signal and things like that. And also, if you get appointed, how will you protect SABC from unhealthy political interference? I will put it like that. Thanks.
Well, sorry, yeah. Well, it is actually quite a staggering figure that 5 million people are not getting the signal. I take it you are talking of sound broadcasting or TV, but or TV, you're right. Yeah. It is an unfortunate, but you know, I've heard the minister say he's committed during his term to correcting these infrastructure balances. He was talking especially when we migrate to the digital services that, you know, the people who will lose out and the situation which will compromise universality principles and service would be the new technology which will not reach everybody quickly. So I think this is going to be seen as work in progress. How do we step up for 2010? I mean, if the communities are not going to watch their favorite team play because their receivers are not working and so on, they don't have enough money to buy DSTV and get satellite broadcast, you know, it's going to create a huge upset. So I think it's a very urgent issue, but we can only solve this issue by sitting down with the Minister of Communications and Minister of Finance to actually address this matter. It can be addressed. Because now there are new technologies, things like iBest, you know, and so on, which can go a long way to resolving this issue. If it's an issue of electricity, then let's look at solar energy, you know. And of course, you know, the fact that there are people who are not serviced by the SABC really goes against the mandate. And has the political interference, this will always be there in any country. You know, when people are in power, the tendency is that they want to get their way. So it's very important to stick to the rules, to the codes of conduct, and to frank discussion. I mean, if I were in the SABC, I would sit with the minister, I would sit with any other minister because I know them. So cultivating extra mural contact ways to contact people, invite people for lunch, invite them for a dinner or something. And sorry? Golf, yeah, sure. Excellent. Excellent idea. Can actually break down a lot of barriers, you know, to getting your point across. As I say, you know, I've never had a single president of this country when I served in cabinet trying to dictate one conducted one's business. And I'm quite sure whoever will be chairman of the SABC, and I serve under them, I will offer that person that we have a problem, let's go and see Minister Sorenso. We'll talk about it. And we can deal with it. It's not an impossible issue.
Doctor, thank you very much for your time and for participating in this interview.
Thank you very much.
We'll be making a decision very shortly.
Thank you.
And you'll be informed. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay.
And I apologize for the delay again.
No.
Can you bring the last candidate for the day, please? The chair of committees has approved the training program, provided the whips of all parties approve. And I'm told the end, I said the training program for the end of this month for members at UCT has been approved by the chair of committees, and the ANC chief group has also approved for his component. But Mr. Papela says the whips of other parties, the chief whips of other parties must also approve. So if you can just ensure that happens, then we are on course.
But when you officially...
It's on the program, yes, it will be on the program. You must officially send a letter to the parties and just ask the whips to, chief whips to approve. Yes, they can approve now. Why making life a difficult? Why must we send a letter to you and to you? Okay. Professor, very warm word of welcome to you. Sorry that we've kept you waiting a very long time. But we want to get you home tonight.
Thanks.
Yes, we don't want you to miss the flight, so we're going to be very focused and very sharp. First time you're coming to the committee or the parliament?
Very, very first time indeed.
Oh, we should have organized a tour guide for you to take you around.
I would appreciate that.
Yes, otherwise you were just sitting in one corner here.
Yeah.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you so much.
We're going to give you 3 to 5 minutes to just quickly take us through your CV, and then maybe you should just say why you think you'll be a worthy candidate. Then we'll open up to the members. They pose questions, and we take one member at a time. Questions, you respond, and then we take the next question. Over to you.
Thank you so much, Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee, for the opportunity that you have given to me this afternoon. I'm David Musoma. I was born in Maseke in Limpopo, the then Northern Transvaal, educated at Buhara High School, where I completed my senior certificate, proceeded to FETSAM, where I did my a certificate in theology, proceeded to become a pastor of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church at Mwamitwa. I worked in a rural area. The majority of my congregants were women because at that time the majority of their men were in the mining industry in the Vals or in Johannesburg. I then worked for a few years in Archbishop Fallsville, got scholarship to proceed to study for my PhD degree
sociology degree at Princeton, where I completed my PhD with cum laude. Returned, before I returned to South Africa, got a job at UNISA as a senior lecturer in the Department of Theology and Theological Ethics. Part of my age, in my youth, I was an activist. Back then at Fort Hare. And when I was at UNISA, I discovered that the majority of African people who were then language assistants were not allowed to be part of the mainstream of the university. I then started what was then called the Black Academic and Administrative Forum, which was a vehicle to transform the University of South Africa to where it is now. This body constituted of workers and with students, which agitated for transformation. First, the transformation of council. Second, for transformation of working conditions and also privileging Africans to hold positions such as senior lecturer, professors in the University of South Africa. And of course, the change from a whiteboard to a multi-racial board, with the chairperson of the board being an African, the vice chancellor, the journal, and of course, many other things just followed from there. I became the acting registrar, became the vice principal research in the University of South Africa, and with the merger, which I played a pivotal role in bringing the three institutions, UNISA, the old TSA, and the old VUDEC wing of the Vista University together. I then occupied the position of the vice principal operations. Then after 2 years, we were appointed, where I then took the position of the vice principal learner support and also assuming the position of the DVC of the university. To date, that's where we are.
Thank you very much, Mr.
Ndikepembe. Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Professor.
Good afternoon.
You have achieved a lot at UNISA. And I just want to ask you, you haven't got any formal knowledge of the broadcasting world, radio, television. Why must I put a stamp as approval for you to be on the board of the SABC? Will you manage that world? It's a very difficult world, the SABC, the broadcasting world.
If I've been able to manage a complex university, which has a complement of 280,000 students, with an offshoot of the same similar complement in Ethiopia, managing almost the tune of 3 billion in terms of the assets and resources of the university, what will stop me from managing SABC? I believe I bring conceptual skills, I bring human skills, I bring management skills, which implies that in essence we work on performance management to deliver. And I'm targeted, focused, and I work on delivery, is my basic essence. Otherwise, I would not have succeeded at all. I've just returned from Ethiopia at the invitation of the Ethiopian government to deliver 10,000 M students and 2,000 D students. And that project management is under my hand as I speak.
Good evening. The last response we have given, just taking it from there, are you going to have time for SABC? Understanding that SABC currently is undergoing a very difficult phase. And this and your plate seem to be a little bit half full or quarter full, I'm not sure. Where are we going to have time to focus at the SABC? That will be my first question. The second one, since we are indicating that it will sound that you've got some corporate governance skills also. The issue of conflict of interest between the board members themselves and senior managers at the SABC. Whether I know the Act currently allow board members to declare such interest and so on. But what is your view around that particular matter in terms of board members having a direct interest business on the institution which they are serving at, including managers? The third question is in relation to when last did you pay your TV license? If you do have a TV set, because it does not look good. Maybe let me wait for your response in terms of your TV license, when last did you pay it? Because the picture seems to be gloom in that respect.
Thank you so much. Let me start with the last one. Chair, I owned a television which I since cancelled, but my wife owned a television. We have a television at home, which is paid off. My wife is running a guest house, which we have seven televisions. I'm not so sure whether those are paid, but I'm sure we should have paid. But those have been under the spotlight. I think they should have been paid, but I can't vouch for that.
Let me confess, Prof, you are the second man today who depends on women in terms of TV
It is a corporate life, corporate affair. Thank you so much. Second one has to do with the conflict of interest. Even in our institution, the conflict of interest is a key corporate activity. We require all our management, deans, everybody to declare their conflict of interest. When you trade with the institution from which you work, it's not allowed unless you've declared and the board has actually sanctioned that. But willy-nilly, it's something which is not acceptable to do that. That would be my response to that one. Time for the SABC. Let me say, we are building a new nation. And builders of a new nation must be strong. What I mean by that, I need to give my time to make a difference to contribute to the nation-building process. I say this because last year I was appointed by the city of Tshwane to investigate the fire that engulfed one of the buildings there. I did that, volunteered. I did not even take a cent out of that. Out of my own time, I volunteered to investigate and presented a report. So I feel it's part of what I call plowback of the knowledge I have to the nation.
Are you referring to Kruger Park?
Yeah. I did that.
Can I just ask a side question? No. I was helping there. So will the people be able to go back to Kruger Park?
That I can't vouch. What I was requested as part of my mandate was to investigate the cause, make a recommendation. The report is done. It has been presented to the principal. What happens to the report, it's no longer my job. Thank you. No. That I don't know. I don't know that.
Professor, just a quick question. Part of the problems that the SABC faced in recent years or months was lack of accountability, actually absence of good governance systems, and I think application thereof. Are you very... As you indicated that you bring conceptual skills, management skills, etc., also ethics on the basis of your first studies, etc., transformation, etc. Would you think that you would be able to assist specifically to restore a sense of accountability at the SABC? And how would you ensure that the rift that was present in the previous board between the non-executive members and the executive members would actually be restored, that there would be confidence in each other, and that through that process, broad South Africans would again trust the SABC as a public broadcaster, entrusted also with a mandate of the public broadcaster? Because clearly you indicated you were very strong on nation building, and we believe that that is a critical component of a public broadcaster. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that. First and foremost, one of the critical functions that one has to embark on is to assess the nature of the problem, because you can't prescribe a solution unless you understand the nature of the problem. And to understand the gravity, whether the nature of the problem is such that even if you try to bring the people together, it's not going to work. But if one has determined that the rift is not so deep, when the number of interventions that one can bring about, such as bring workshops, team building workshops, and so forth, that would be the first intervention. But if those things are not working, it is important that you begin to look at new blood in order to make sure that the institution runs. Because you can't sacrifice the institution at the whim of individual differences. The nation is above everybody else. So it's important to understand that, but I can't prescribe now and say this is what I'm going to do. But once I have appraised about the nature of the problem, then from there I'll prescribe the necessary steps to be taken.
Thank you very much for your time. Members, we've had a very long day. We've been sitting like this from 9 o'clock. No lunch break, no tea break. So thank you very much for your time, Professor.
Thank you.
Keep well and have a safe journey back home.
Thank you so much.
Right, members, I think we can call it a day here. We meet tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock for another long working day.
You've got
50 minutes to break my fast. No. Peter John Harris is another person altogether.
We did that yesterday.
It's Peter Harris.
It's
another person altogether.
It
might be a citing. Okay. Peter John Harris. Because we've got a very, very heavy program tomorrow. All right. Look, let's leave it at 9, because we've informed the candidates that at 9 o'clock they will be here. If there's an unfortunate delay for some reason or the other, just give us a call so that we can then delay the start. But the program is 9. I'm going to speak to the bus driver tonight that he must be here. I don't care how he gets here. Yes. Well, everybody is saying, right, Che. My name is Ismail, not Che. Yes. No. Because we are formally sitting, the leaders in the group. No, no, you won't. Because it's a formal meeting of the committee. Right.
Who is this now? Whose thing is this?
No, it's for PMC.
Oh,
PMC. No, it's fine.
I'm going to see that I put it to hold. And so by Sonia Queen Nancy. Hey, my gentleman, please.
Nancy.
Miss Alaba.
I'm not sure if you're going to be able to do that.
Abantu lokusaporta. Sizawuza ngomso.
Ayibona yabona namhlanje lothando kwaphezela hayi. Mhm. Bekungamathu.
Anything in gas 7. Yo, unga dagala lo tata bengogqibela.
Hey, bene wazi
madaka.
Bene wazi life.
Ukhe
ukuthi abazobunga ukuthi
bangqwaqwa. Babgqwaqwile na.
Abangqwaqwa uthofa lo. Hayi, bathi ngiwe sena.
Kodwa mhlambi nguyena bazamthatha.
Eh, enyi do. Ngizosela kwa lapha kuemphasize ngibuze yabona manje buzwe. Kuthi nan si answer one lokhalo za coverage nombuzo yakabuzo.
Bathi noba sabeyazi uba bazawuthatha ubani.
Esithibi uzalapha ke ziyasifota xa sisenzayo.
Siyafota.
Sisafota, siyawalala xa sizalalisa.
Sisafota. Kutheni kungekho mntu pha? Ocimayo.
Abasifumeli izibawula, abasifuni ngoku.
Asiva, siviwa ke into esithethayo.
Akabeva, bangabona nje.
Abantwana banqozisayo.
Hayi, bathunyelwa ngudoda.
Benitye isingalani? Noi transport aniifumani before Hani organize the transport?
Grace up a packing.
Hey, Minga,
time.
ayise nje sinqanqambela kwaba mama basinqene mina nazo nje ka PMG a What about us? And now you're going to
be in a loop.
What's the OC?
I'm a son. What's the
hammer? Come on, the
girl. I'm going to go for you.
Innovation, 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 inn
Who was like, who's that woman that didn't clear?
Well, that had a clean distance.